Oyez, oyez, oyez. All persons having business before the Honorable, the United States Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit are admonished to draw near and give their attention, for the court is now sitting. God save the United States and this Honorable Court. Be seated. Case number 06-7155. Kevin R. McCarthy, trustee of Appellant versus KMW Bank of Northern Hills.
Mr. McCarthy, good morning.
Good morning, judges. May it please the court. My name is Kevin McCarthy, and I am the trustee in bankruptcy in the case of Philip Dorton. The facts in this case are straightforward. Mr. Dorton bought a car on October 13th of 2003. He financed the purchase of the car. He gave his security interest to the lender in order to finance the purchase of the car. The dealer assigned the contract to BMW Bank, and the dealer, on behalf of BMW Bank, then applied for a certificate of title. On December 24th, or about 2.5 months later, DMV issued the certificate of title noting the lien of BMW Bank. And then about 5 weeks later, on January 30th of 2004, Mr. Dorton filed for bankruptcy. I was appointed trustee. I looked at this timeline and decided there was a preference here. And had the law continued to be the same as it was then under a prior ruling of Judge Teel, one that was affirmed by the district court by Judge Roberts, I would have been right. But in this case, the judge changed his view. And when I filed a complaint and moved for summary judgment expecting to prevail, to my surprise, I lost. There's a very discreet, dispositive legal issue in this case. When was this lien, this security interest for BMW Bank, perfected? If it was first perfected when Mr. Dorton drove the car off the lot, then I lose. If it was first perfected when the certificate of title noting the lien was issued by DMV 2.5 months after the car was purchased, then I win. And I think all of the parties and the, well, both parties and the courts below would agree on that characterization. Now, my position is that this lien was first perfected when the certificate of title was issued. And I get to that position by looking at two statutes. And I think the court can decide this case simply by looking at two statutes and putting them side by side. The first is section 9-311B of the UCC of Article 9. And the second is DC's certificate of title statute. Now, 9-311B begins with a reference to requirements of the certificate of title statute. It uses that word, requirements. It goes on to say, when you're talking about property that is subject to that statute, and so far we all agree that that is the case, then, and I quote, a security interest, I'm not quoting just yet, a security interest in property subject to the statute, quote, may be perfected only by compliance with those requirements, end quote. So then you go on to the certificate of title statute, and that's DC Code Section 50-1202 to see, well, what are these statutory requirements that are the only way that you can perfect a security interest in a car purchased by a consumer in the District of Columbia? That statute says during the time that the certificate of title is outstanding, no lien is effective against third parties, such as a bankruptcy trustee like myself. Now, I'm quoting, unless and until entered on such certificate, end quote. There's no mention of perfection prior to the issuance of the certificate of title. And the district court even said the plain language of the certificate of title statute does not set forth any requirements for perfection of a lien prior to issuance of a certificate. So you put these two statutes together, and what do you get? I say, since the only perfection requirement mentioned in the Certificate of Title statute is notation of the lien on the Certificate of Title, that's the way you have to do it. And it's as simple as that, the plain language of the statutes.
Now, in footnote 5 of your brief, you said maybe BMW Bank could have filed a financing statement. Are you retreating from that? You're saying there's just one way, and that's the only way.
Right. I think that I can concoct an argument under which that would be one way to do it, but I think the better argument is that's not the way to do it, because 9-311A, I believe, says financing statements don't have any effect when you're talking about liens and cars. Now, BMW Bank, of course, disagrees with my position, and they say, well, the Certificate of Title statute, quote, implicitly incorporates, end quote, the common law. Well, we all agree the statute is silent here, and I don't see how you can get a statutory requirement out of a situation where the statute doesn't mention it, and particularly a statutory requirement out of the common law, which is, you know, kind of what the statute was designed to change in the first place. So I would characterize the situation as my reading of these statutes is based on what they say, and their reading of the statutes is based on what they don't say. So I'm arguing for the court to adopt the plain language of the statutes. Now, the bank also says that, well, the UCC allows for principles of equity and common law to fill in the gaps, except where the UCC provisions displace that. Again, I think the plain language of these statutes should begin and end the discussion here, and there's really no room to go outside that language to go find these gap-filling common law principles, such as first in time is first in right. But even if you wanted to do that, this seems like an unsuitable situation in which to do that, because Article 9's, you know, main thrust is to do away, or one of its main thrusts is to do away with secret liens and to create a situation where the world has a way of knowing whether there's a prior lien on this particular piece of property or not. So if ever there was a common law rule that should have gotten displaced by Article 9, it's the one that would allow a secret lien such as we get here, if BMW Bank is correct.
Is that a public document, the title to an automobile?
I think that depends on the jurisdiction. In D.C., I am not entirely sure whether it is. Obviously,
doesn't that, but if it's not a public document, then your secret lien argument disappears.
Well, the owner, of course, could have a certificate of title and show it, you know, to a potential subsequent lien holder and say, look. Well, actually, as a practical matter, usually the lien holder is going to have it.
I bought this car and borrowed X amount of money on such and such a date.
He definitely could say that, and there would be no way to double-check it if BMW Bank is correct.
He could show a sales receipt. You know, he could show the financing documents.
Well, if he's acknowledging that there's a prior lien on the car, then there's no problem. But if you have an unscrupulous owner who says, hey, I own this car free and clear, and there's no way to find out, there's no certificate of title, you know, outstanding, or he's got it, there was a mistake or something of that nature.
He says that, and you say, you know, show me your the sales documents. That's all.
Right.
My only question is the secret lien argument that you're making. Forget about this. Apart from the statutory interpretation argument, I'm just wondering whether it flies, because if a certificate of title is not a public document that somebody can go look up, then why isn't the certificate itself a secret lien?
I'm not certain that it isn't a public document that you can look up. I know I can go on Westlaw and do a lien search. When it comes to cars, yeah. I don't think I could do it in Virginia. I can do it in D.C., but I can't tell you I'm absolutely sure about that.
And in fact, there's a federal statute the name of which I can't recall, that makes it a federal criminal offense for motor vehicle departments to give out certain kinds of information about drivers and motor vehicle registrations.
Whether there's a lien is one of them?
Well, I don't know. I haven't looked it up.
Well, you know, if you're right, then you have to wonder, well, why do we have this certificate of title statute in the first place that says no lien is valid against third parties unless it's noted on the title? I mean, clearly,
well, there's an easy answer to that. It's when you transfer title so that the lien holder has to be notified and approve the transfer.
That would be an instance for sure. I have a hard time myself coming up with scenarios in which, you know, somebody has been cheated by virtue of, you know, a fact pattern. And, you know, and the best answer I have, I think, is simply the statutory answer. And I have quoted in my papers the First Circuit case of Collins versus Greater Atlantic Mortgage, where the court said it's one thing to impose a gloss on the statute that achieves formal compliance with the statute to rescue a transaction where no prejudice occurred. It's another to make lack of prejudice itself a substitute for formal compliance. So I think, you know, my best argument is we need to comply with the statute.
This is in the record or not, but the is it customary to take 2 months for the District of Columbia to issue a certificate of title?
It happens.
It happens, yeah. And the consequence of that is that the 90-day rule is greatly expanded, right? That means it's 150 days from purchase. Yeah.
That's right. And, you know, Congress made it a little bit easier in the new law that was passed, you know, and took effect in October of 2005. They changed the safe harbor period from 20 days to 30 days. Mm-hmm. It still wouldn't help in this case. What would help is, and I'm sure the court has read it, is using the legislative fix that was recommended by the UCC drafters in comment 5 to 9-311.
During this two-month period, is this car registered? Because I thought you had to have a certificate of title in order to register the car. So what's the status of the registration in that time period?
Right. I mean, I think this is one of those temporary tags situation. I don't know how it goes on for 2.5 months. This doesn't seem to be a problem across the river, but it has been a problem, at least in D.C. in the past. And I don't, they may have gotten more efficient as time has gone by.
We'll give you a minute in reply. Your time is up.
I'm sorry?
Your time is up. We'll give you a minute in reply.
You mean in rebuttal?
Yes.
Okay, so I should sit down.
Right.
All right, thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors. I'm Ronald DeWald. I'm a member of the law firm of Lipschultz & Hone, and I represent BMW Bank of North America in this matter. I think let me jump ahead of my argument. I think one of the questions is, in the D.C. statute, the efficiency of the District of Columbia's DMV. The statute basically is governed by the date the certificate is issued. In most of the other statutes that in any way relate to this type of situation in the other states, the date of application, which puts control of the entire process in the hands of the bank or the seller, is the date that is important. So here, notwithstanding what the selling dealer might have done, the DMV did not issue the title for nearly 2 months. And I think that makes the District of Columbia statute unique from that perspective. Our position is that the common law principle of first in time, first in right applies to the priority of settlement interests in motor vehicles because the D.C. Statute regarding perfection only relates to that period of time when the certificate has been issued. Our argument is that the term, quote, requirements is not limited to what is specifically set forth in the D.C. statute, but what is the statute is silent on. It makes little sense that all District of Columbia residents who would buy cars, and I would note that by my observation, many of the dealers no longer are in the District of Columbia, which I presume is because of the price of real estate, but there are only a few left. So many of the residents of the District of Columbia go into Maryland or Virginia to buy their motor vehicles. It makes little sense for those sellers who are not even in the District of Columbia, or even the few that remain, to be, quote, on the hook or exposed during this period of time that the District of Columbia DMV takes to issue a certificate of title. As a practical matter, a seller of a car would have to be leery about turning over possession of the car that has been purchased by the customer until he has that certificate issued under that scenario. So
he's always got to, even if it's the date of application or whatever, the individual is, the seller is always in danger, right? Because it's any lien that's within 90 days of the later bankruptcy petition doesn't count, right?
Correct. But
right. So there's always a 3-month. The question is whether we should ignore the 2 months running and make it more dangerous, or a longer period of time.
As to the bankruptcy issue,
right.
That's correct.
Yeah.
But I'm looking at the practical issue of District of Columbia residents who go to acquire cars. The sellers, if they have no priority, their security interest does not have a priority over some other situation, setting aside bankruptcy for a minute, they're going to be reluctant to transfer the vehicle until the certificate is issued, if you accept the trustee's position that common law does not apply. That is why, one of the reasons that I believe the application of the common law principles under Article 9, as allowed by the UCC, makes good sense. If you look at the possibilities here, the trustee in bankruptcy is really the only entity, as I see it, that would be involved in this kind of scenario without some form of fraud. If, because you have to use a car in the District of Columbia on the streets of the District of Columbia, you have to have it registered and you have to have a certificate of title. The statute requires that. So, I mean, I have seen situations in other matters where I have represented this same client where a DMV basically was defrauded by an owner into issuing a replacement certificate of title without the lien noted thereon because they prepared a fraudulent lien release document. So fraud or unlawfulness really is required other than in the trustee situation. If you take the trustee's position, then every bank and every seller becomes exposed under the District of Columbia statute for the period of time it takes until that certificate of title is issued. The trustee in his argument made reference to the exclusivity of the process. Our position is that the DMV statute does not say it is the only way to have a priority or a perfection. It simply says when the certificate of title is issued, it is the only way. I think Article 9 with regard to financing statements also is important when you think about that aspect of it. It clearly says that a financing statement in the District of Columbia is not effective to give you a priority or secured interest in a motor vehicle. When you look at 28.9.311 regarding financing statements, it says not only is it not effective, it says it is not necessary. Why would that be there if it was not that they have contemplated that the common law covers this period of time until the certificate of title is issued?
What do you do with comment 5 to 9311?
I believe comment 5 relates to the other type statutes issued by...
Well, it says, for example, statutes under which perfection does not occur until a certificate of title is issued will create a gap. I mean, they recognize that, and they say they instruct the legislature to amend it to make it effective
on receipt of the certificate of title by the state official rather than issuance.
I appreciate that. My understanding of, and I think the district court actually dealt with that, Judge Teal found that it was inapplicable under 50-1201 because perfection does not occur prior to the issuance of the certificate of title. I think Judge Kessler adopted the view basically that Title V is inapplicable. Because our statute does not have that exclusivity provision in it. In other words, it doesn't say you have no perfection until the title is issued. It says when the title is outstanding, that's the only perfection. So there's a distinction. And we looked at all the statutes, and while each one of them is different and difficult to compare, none of them are just like the District of Columbia's. So we believe that comment five, because of that exclusivity argument that we do disagree with the trustee on, does not apply.
Do you know the answer to Judge Randolph's question about whether the certificate itself is a public record? In other words, is the problem here notice to the world, or is it only about protecting the secured?
I honestly, as I stand here today, do not know that. And I know that he is correct when he says there have been changes because of privacy requirements. And I cannot say that I have tried to get a certificate of title in any case where it was not my own in the District of Columbia for quite some time. So I cannot say that. I know in Maryland, for instance, if I have litigation that I want to get documents from the DMV, I issue a subpoena, and then it becomes court controlled as to what you can and can't get. And I suspect, but I do not know, that in the District of Columbia it would be that type of thing. In other words, I could not, as a public citizen, write to the DMV and say, give me the title on such and such a vehicle. I don't think that is possible presently, but I honestly do not know.
Do you believe that the common law first-in-time rule applies even in the states where the filing of an application for a title perfects the security interest?
Without reading a specific statute, I'm not certain that I could say that.
That is the legislative change that Comment 5 suggests is to make the filing of the application the triggering event.
Correct.
Right. Okay. But there have to be situations in which the person that's trying to perfect the security interest doesn't file the application right away. Maybe, like, for example, in this case, if the application hadn't been for title had not been filed for 2 months, the argument, you could still make the same argument. The only difference is that would be your client's fault, not the Department of Motor Vehicle or the District of Columbia.
Correct.
Why that should matter about whether, in interpreting the statute, it's not clear to me. I don't see anything in the statute that deals with it.
As a practical matter, again, calling upon just general knowledge, I know that many of the sellers of motor vehicles are authorized by DMVs as their agent to take the application and collect the taxes, and basically it becomes effective right there and then. In other words, in this case, VOB BMW in Rockville, in Maryland, I believe could have effectively filed it right that day when they transferred the car. In the District of Columbia, it's not possible. You have to go to DMV, so they have a title runner that goes to DMV, and then it's up, and under our statute, it's up to the efficiency of DMV. Do they issue it 1 day later, 5 days later, 3 months later? And there also would be, at a point in time, a required inspection in the District of Columbia. Unlike in other states where the inspection could be done by a dealer, in the District of Columbia, the actual inspection of the vehicle has to be by the DMV. You have to go stand in line and have your vehicle inspected. So there are a lot of potential delays to actually effectively complying with the statute, and Our position is that the statute deals with that because it does not address the time prior to when the certificate is outstanding.
All right, your time is up. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
We'll give you 1 minute, Mr. McCarthy.
Thank you, Your Honor. It does seem to me, Judge Randolph, that I have a recollection of looking up online whether or not a security interest was of record against a car, but it may have been some years ago, and whether that's still accessible, you know, I just can't really tell you. I think the real problem here is that, you know, these laws just don't fit together very well. But it's not right to say that, you know, our law is out there all by itself. There's comment 6 to section 9303, which is in Exhibit E in my brief addendum, talks about a variety of non-uniform certificate of title statutes and the need to coordinate Article 9 with them. Almost every jurisdiction has had the common law. This is going to be a common problem. That is addressed. Sure, it would have been fixed had the legislative fix that was proposed in Comment 5 simply been taken up. So I say the courts are here. I would suggest respectfully the courts should interpret these statutes according to their plain language, according to the legislative history, according to the purpose of Article 9, and not rescue the D.C. City Council or Congress, you know, whoever started the problem in this particular instance, or the lender in this case. And rule that the lien was first perfected when the certificate of title was issued and not before, and that therefore there was a preference and to remand the case for further proceedings consistent. Thank you very much, judges.
You.